are good to go. So I'll do a quick intro and introduce you, and then we will just jump on in.
Awesome.
All right. Hello, everybody. What's going on? Welcome back to the Midnight Terrors podcast. My name is Kevin, and we are here with another episode for you, another guest co-host this time around, which is exciting. This is an episode that has been long in the works. This is a very good friend of mine and castmate of Charleston's Absent Friends. She actually won a guest voucher at our August live podcast event. So
August.
we are here to finally cash in. She's also the assistant director for the Princess Bride production that Charleston's Absent Friends does. She is the head Transylvanian for Charleston's Absent Friends with our Rocky performance. And she wears a lot of hats. So please welcome my good friend Claudia.
Hey, how are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right, doing all right. So excited for my first podcast ever.
I know we've been working on this one for a while, and I told you off air, thank you for being flexible with me. I know we had a lot of craziness to get through, but we're finally here. We're doing it. And
Yep,
yeah, it's
before
going
the
to be a
new
good one.
craziness starts up. Yes.
Yeah, before a whole new year of crazy schedule starts up, but fun crazy schedule.
Yes, 100%.
So, but yeah, so welcome to the show for the very first time. I know you've been at our live events before, so you know how we do here on MTP. You've been very vocal and heavy participation at the live events. And let's dive into some horror talk. Before we dive into the movie that you picked, if you've listened to our show before, you know how we do that we got to put the new guest in the hot seat.
Yep.
And so we got to ask the golden question of how did you get into horror? And also the other part of the question being, what is your favorite scary movie or the one that just stuck with you and messed you up?
Okay, so honestly, I'm more into the horror novels. So I started reading Stephen King's It was the first one that really got me interested in horror. Then I really liked a lot of his novels. So that really got me into the horror genre for sure with Stephen King, with Carrie. It. Gosh, he has so many. I can't even name them all off the top of my head. And then the first scary movie I have to say that still holds a place in my heart was the first one I saw was the original It with Tim Curry. Because I think, what year did that come out?
That was 1990.
Okay, that was 1990. So I was about. So I was about 6 or 7 years old when that came out, and I saw it for the first time. Terrorized the crap out of me. Still have a huge, terrifying scare of clowns because of Tim Curry, amazing as Pennywise. And, but it still holds true. It's like the first horror movie I was introduced to. I enjoyed it a lot, even though it scared the crap out of me. Then the next biggest one, I don't know if Jurassic Park really considers it a horror movie, more like a thriller, I would think.
You know, we've talked about that on the show a little bit. Honestly, I consider Jurassic Park to be a horror movie at its core. Yes, there's thriller elements to it, but like it's fucking scary. So
Okay, in that case, then, if that since we consider it horror, then that'll move up above it. But it was my first movie into the horror movie genre. You know, I liked a lot of like the cheesy 80s horror movies because they weren't like the ones nowadays that were really like graphic with blood and gore. It was more just like scaring you, like this whole like psychological fuckery around with you, like taking your like children's nightmares and bringing them to life and shit, and being like a 9-year-old, that was like very terrifying. But Jurassic Park, because I remember when I was a kid, I would tell my dad every time the dinosaurs were on scene to let me know so I could close my eyes because I was terrified of the dinosaurs. So yeah, so I only saw the part of the no dinosaurs. Then when it came out to VHS. For the first time, I got the Letterbox Edition just to kind of show my age, the THX Letterbox Edition for VHS. I actually watched the whole thing, and now it's like it still holds true today. Jurassic Park is my one top thing. I've watched it 50,000 times.
Yep, Jurassic
Holds
Park.
up amazingly well in this day and age, so much better than the new world crap that's been coming out. So.
Yeah, Jurassic Park remains my all-time favorite film of all time.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree. At least watch it twice a year.
It never gets old. And yeah, there's a lot of layers to that one. It never scared me, surprisingly, but I know a lot of people were were scarred by it. And you'd be surprised how many like not horror movies have come up as people's intro to horror. We've had The
Oh, that's
Wizard of
interesting.
Oh yeah, we've had The Wizard of Oz pop up.
Really?
We've had E.T. pop up.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There was one that was mentioned yesterday that they will hear it on a different episode, and I cannot remember what it was now, but we've had a lot of stuff that wasn't really horror that people have been scarred by. And I think that just goes to show that horror can be found in many different types of films.
For sure, 100%. You never know what people are afraid of, so.
Now a question for you. Now, being a grown horror fan, what type of horror would you say is like your bread and butter? Like, if you're gonna watch a horror movie, what kind of horror are you looking for?
I prefer the psychological horror or haunting horrors where it just really just fucks around with your mind, or it's like you don't know if this is really happening or not happening. Is it in your mind? You know, more that aspect of like just the psychological horror, less like the gore, the stab them up, cut them up type thing. Even though I do understand some, the famous monsters definitely have a lot of psychological issues going on, and that explains for a lot of their behavior. So I get that. But more just like hauntings and stuff like, is this really true? Or are you just like completely have a mental breakdown? This is all just a bunch of mind fuckery because your mind's being mean, wants to fuck around with you. So.
Sure. Is there any that you can think of off the top of your head that that you go to as far as psychological?
Let me see. I guess I definitely like the Haunting of Hill House series.
Oh God, yes.
Those are amazing. Those are definitely true. And then a lot of other psychological horror. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Sorry, my mom just came in.
Hey, you're good. I know that's an on-the-spot question too, so no
Yeah.
pressure. Because I'm that person that if someone asked me, like, name some of these types of horror, I could name it on the spot, no problem, if they didn't ask me for it. But the second someone asked me, I can't do it.
Yeah, so my go-to psychological horror movie. I don't know if I even be considered horror either. God, it's like I know the movie off the top of my head, but I cannot find the name of it because there's I'm sorry, I cannot think of the name of the movie off the top of my head right now.
That's okay. I know one that comes to my mind that is deeply psychological and dark is have you ever heard of the Babadook?
I have not, but now I got to think about it. Gone Girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
I wouldn't
got
know if
that's
that's a horror, but that's definitely very psychological, where it just had you all fucked up at the very end and.
Well, Gone Girl I would put like in the same vein as like Silence of the Lambs. That's very psychological too.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes, Silence of the Lambs.
So
Yeah.
like I would put Gone, I've never seen Gone Girl, but just hearing about it, I would put that in the same vein as one of those types of movies. So that makes sense.
Yeah, oh, Gone Girl is amazing. Neil Patrick Harris is great as always. And yeah, the twist at the end made me realize, yeah, bitches be crazy.
Cool. Well, we're talking about a movie tonight that is I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there's some psychological elements to this with some of the themes in here for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. Especially in the book.
Yes, but this is also just a fun 80s movie because we're talking about 1989's original Pet Sematary, the Stephen King classic. This was picked by you. I told you that for your episode, you get to pick the movie we talk about. So, how did you land on Pet Sematary?
Well, it came out at the same time too, kind of around the same time as It and all the other and Carrie and all the other Stephen King movies that were like made for TV at the time. And so it just fell. I remember reading the book and it came on TV. I'm like, ooh, I want to see this movie. And I just kind of like the aspect because once again, I was six, I think, at the time, trying to do math in my head. And it was just the whole idea of like, oh, you can bury your pet and bring it back to life so you can have it with you, just fascinated me. Because
Yeah.
who doesn't want to bring their pets back to life after they've died, especially if they get hit by a truck or a car or something like that, you know, is not expected. So that just kind of interested me there and kind of seeing how it starts off kind of cool and then it slowly goes into this whole like, oh no, it's not so cool after all, and they start burying bodies and bringing back the wife. And
Yeah, for sure.
so, but it was right along those like 80, 90s movies, the remaking of Stephen King, where I just fell into because my parents watched it all the time too. So I'd watch with my parents because it was just, you know, was probably heavily edited on TV when it came out too, because I wouldn't go to a theater to see it, but I remember watching it on TV.
Yeah, this was definitely a golden age of Stephen King when this is
Yes.
coming out. Another podcast said this is the last Stephen King adaptation released in the 80s,
Yep.
which makes sense. Yeah, this is not our first time doing anything Pet Sematary related on the show. We did do an episode on the remake
Yep. Which I listened to. Yep.
about 2 years ago, as picked by our co-host Roy. Yeah, I got a lot of love for this property. I have not read the book though, but you have?
Yes, I have read the book like 50,000 times. Same thing with it. Same thing with Carrie. What's the one with the car? And I can't remember the name.
Christine.
Yeah, Christine. Yeah, because I was on a huge Stephen King kick in elementary school, elementary and middle school, so.
This one with Pet Sematary, I have not read the book. I tried during the early days of COVID I tried to start a journey of reading all of the Stephen King books that I could get my hands on, like in order of publication. So I did read Carrie, and then I got to Salem's
Nice, that's
Lot,
a
where
good
he
one.
jumped to like 600 pages. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, that's why I said Salem's Lot, The Stand, It, God, and then he did the not the Watchtower series. What is it, that long one had a bunch of
Dark
different
Tower.
parts? Dark Tower, yes. I
Yeah,
couldn't get
yeah,
into this. It was just every book was so long and it was so many books. I'm like, yeah, no, this reminds me of manga. I'm done.
yeah. So, are you still a fan of the Pet Sematary book?
Oh yeah, definitely 100%. I'm still a fan of all the original Stephen King books. I still have most of them in paperback, even though they have some pages torn and the pages are yellow, but I still have them.
Sure. Well, that's
So
awesome.
yeah, I
Well,
still like to go back to them on occasion every now and then.
awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll be able, as we go through talking about the movie, be able to talk about we'll be able to look to you for the distinctions between the book and the movie. So I'll be interested to hear that as someone who hasn't read the book.
Oh, yeah.
We sometimes talk about production notes like on the show, and something I only just recently found out in preparation for this was that this movie was initially supposed to be directed by George Romero
Oh, really?
of Night of the Living Dead. Stephen King
Huh.
was very particular about the film adaptation of this book. He views this as one of his scariest, as I understand it. George Romero ended up working on another film. And then when the rights ended up being settled, Stephen King wrote the like had written the screenplay for this, and he got to handpick the director. So
Nice.
that's quite interesting how heavily involved he is with this one.
Yeah, I think he's heavily involved with a lot of his movies, honestly, because I know there was some movie that came out. I think it was like Carrie. He wasn't a fan of how that kind of played out, if I remember correctly, some of the production notes. And like I say, he gets
Yeah.
very protective of his property when it comes to being made to live action. I know some people said he's kind of hard to work with because he's so adamant that no, this has to stay in, this has to stay in. And they're like, well, it doesn't really flow for movie style, you know.
Well, it's very famous his big dispute with Stanley Kubrick over The Shining.
Yes, that's the big one I was thinking of too, The Shining. Oh, yes.
And
Huge.
he ended up making his own adaptation of that in the 90s with a TV miniseries. He ended up
Of
writing
which I
and
saw, which I enjoyed.
yeah, I haven't seen it all the way through, so I want to check it out to see how it is. But he also wrote and directed Maximum Overdrive.
Okay, don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, that movie. He was coked out of his mind when making that movie.
I'm not surprised.
So,
When
Maximum
was he not
Overdrive.
poked out of his mind?
Exactly. Maximum Overdrive is wild.
I bet.
It is a terrible movie, but it is so much fun. So I recommend it. But Pet Sematary, I saw this for the first time around like 2011, 2012, and this movie scared the shit out of me. Do you remember the first time you saw this one? I can't remember what you said for that.
I know it came out in the same time during like all the Stephen King made to TV movies coming out. I have to go through my notes to see what year it came in, but
This was 1989.
That's right. You did say 1999 earlier. Sorry, it's been a long day.
No, you're good.
But what was the question again?
Do you know when you first saw this? Like, did you see this upon its release, or did you see it a few years later?
I think I saw it a few years later. I think with most of these, I saw it a few years later, but it was still like in on TV, in the early 90s when they used to rerun all the TV movies, like on TNT, I think was one, and when there was only like seven channels we had to choose from, so we didn't have thousands
The
of channels. I know I'm showing my age here, but you
dial
know.
televisions.
Yes, where you couldn't record anything and you had to sit through commercials. And if
What a
you watch
time.
and you're watching a cartoon and you have to really use the restroom, you have to hold it, because otherwise if you go, you're like you'll miss part of the cartoon. And
Exactly. What a
yeah.
time.
It's so much easier nowadays.
do you remember your initial reactions to this one? Were you scared by this?
I'm pretty sure since I was pretty much under the age, around the age of 10, I'm pretty sure I was pretty scared of it. I know I was scared of it. I think it did terrify me a little bit, even though I read the book beforehand. I wish I could give you the exact age, but I don't really remember because that was so almost 30 years ago. So I'm like,
Yeah, you're good. You're good. But
and I'm
yeah,
pretty sure it probably terrified me too, because I know back then I got terrified really easily of a lot of stuff. So.
well, we'll dive into it, but there's a part in here that I feel like is infamously scary to a lot of people when they talk about Pet Sematary.
I think I know what you're talking about, but yeah, we can get into it when we get there.
But yeah, so let's do our usual movie walkthrough. We can just kind of walk through the plot. If you have notes that you want to point out, you can just jump in and
Yeah, of course.
we'll go through it and point out things that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
But I just, I rewatched this a couple nights ago and I took notes while I was watching. I'm a sucker for scores, so I forgot how great the score with the like children's choir at
Yes.
the beginning credits over the Pet Sematary is.
Yes, the creepy children's choir as they're going through the opening sequence with the graveyard, and you're seeing all the signs of the pets and the humans, and that was just really creepy and
Yeah. And
very
like I
disturbing.
exactly. And I love the visuals of the Pet Sematary. Like it's just so ominous.
Yeah, so then even if you notice too, I was like kind of pausing to see some of the signs, and apparently someone buried a horse.
I saw that,
Up in the
yeah.
pet cemetery, there's a horse on there
There's a horse, a goldfish.
and some birds that were in there too, because I literally was pausing at each thing to see what animal was on there, because it goes by kind of fast. So I was like, okay, just more animals were buried there than just like cats and dogs. So
Well, the other thing they put into the credits and the score that I love is you can hear the sounds of kids reading eulogies about their animals.
yes, definitely, which is different from the newer movie, because in the newer movie they actually had the parade of the kids going down, whereas this one you just heard the kids and didn't see them.
Yeah, which I gotta say, like I'm a fan of the remake for sure, but I do like the setup of this one more, as opposed to like instead of scary kids, like just voices is creepy enough.
Yeah, voices are probably more creepy than kids, even though kids are very creepy too. But yeah, just a creepy voice choral, like you said, was just an amazing way to bring you into, and the whole like setup and view of the cemetery and then the town beforehand and the house, just the way he was kind of like just showing you the whole setup before you dive into the characters was great. So
And then I wrote a note that I said, didn't realize the screenplay was written by Stephen King. But that makes a lot of sense. Does this adaptation stay fairly true to the book?
For the most part, they did take some liberties a little bit. They did, of course, the book was super long, so they cut out a lot of stuff and backstory that probably didn't really need to be in the movie to begin with. But for the most part, it stayed pretty true, unlike the new one where they changed which kid it was that got hit by a car, even though I understand why they did it. I'm like, no, it kind of changes the whole feeling of the movie by switching it to the older kid. But then having a creepy baby kind of worked in its favor, so you know.
I feel like that change in the remake would be a lot better if they hadn't spoiled it in the trailer.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But yeah, so we get this final shot where it pans out to the Pet Sematary wide shot with the sign just
Yep.
reading Pet Sematary. And it's just a great shot. I love this opening.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Sorry, I'm reading over my notes real quick
Oh,
as we're
you're
talking.
good. You're good. We freeform here. And then I just wrote a note that says Herman Munster.
Yes, I reckon when he now that we've watched it a few days ago as well, and I saw him come on scene, I'm like, he is so familiar. Who is that person? So I had to look it up, like, Herman Munster. I knew he looked and sounded familiar playing Jed.
Yep, he that's Fred Gwynne, who plays the OG Herman Munster as Judd.
Or
And
Judd,
I
excuse me, not Jed, Judd, yeah.
oh, you're good. And I just wrote, there can only be one, because again, I love the remake and I thought John Lithgow did a great job, but Herman Munster as Judd is just chef's kiss.
Oh, yeah, for sure, 100%. But I like John Lithgow and most everything he does too. But yeah, no, definitely, Herman Monster was the best.
And I'm a cat fan. I know you are as well. So I just have a note that says, "Oh, how I adore Church."
Yes, Church was such a cute black kitty, and I do know that too. I do remember now as we're talking more about when I was younger, I definitely cried when, the
Oh,
cat died.
this movie still like is super
It's still
upsetting.
kind of like. It was still kind of hard to watch too. It was like, 'cause I knew it was coming. I've seen it 50,000 times, and yet I was still like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see a
Yeah,
dead cat,
I
even though I can
know.
very, very much tell it's a puppet. I'm like, I still don't want to see it.
Yeah. And then I mean, right out of the gate though, like, so the family moves in to the new house. They pretty much if you heard us talk about the remake, the plot is essentially the same minus
Oh yeah.
which kid dies, but the family moves into the house and they're, happy family. And they meet Judd, who is the first one to save Gage when he almost gets hit by a truck the first time.
Yep, which is
And
great foreshadowing.
he's like, Lewis, our main character is like, hey, where does that path go? So they go walk out to the pet cemetery. I'm kind of disturbed by the fact that they're showing this young girl the pet cemetery.
Yeah, right.
Like, she's so young,
Alone with an
and
older man, yeah.
well, she, like, her parents come out and they bring Gage too, but I'm just deeply disturbed by this, like, let's show this young child what death is.
Yes, especially when she's like, what? How old is she in this movie? I think six.
Yeah,
No.
she's got to be under 10.
Yeah, I know she's definitely under 10, so.
But I know Lewis is like, she's got to learn someday. And I'm like, not right now.
Yeah, she's a little too young to be learning right now about death, so I definitely agree with it.
So, but again, it's great setup. And they get the very ominous shot of the land beyond the pet cemetery above the big wood pile. Again, just great visuals.
Oh yeah, all around. Like there's a whole bird's eye view too. Like so it's just really, really great. So and the
I have
whole
a.
truck's coming through very fast, definitely. Great.
Oh, that sound design of the trucks. They're so loud.
Yes, definitely. Like yeah.
I have a great line from the daughter, Ellie, when she says, I don't want Church to get his nuts cut, Daddy.
I know, I cracked at that too. Or though just kind of off tangent, I will say I know she's a kid and some kid actors are good and some aren't, but my note was that she was super cute, but her acting was kind of really bad. I hate to say this about a child actor, but yeah, I found her acting to be kind of annoying a little bit, and she was just it was like she wasn't really acting. She was more just like how kids do when they're younger, they just kind of I don't know what the word I'm looking for is,
Well,
but
I almost wonder if it's just like part of her character is that she's supposed to be kind of like whiny and like
could
being
be.
like just like the whole scene with the like, that's my cat, tell God to get his own cat.
Yeah, that could be it too. I guess it's also maybe too with some of her delivery though too, maybe is also a few
Yeah.
things that kind of addition to delivery. But I know she's a kid actor and they're doing the best they can, which I feel kind of bad, but at the same time I'm like,
Well, you know who is a good actor is Gage.
Oh, Gage is so good.
with his little uh-oh, and the way he just says church.
Yes, oh, he is so adorable. I even made
I
that same note too. Like, now Gage is a good child actor.
have met that guy.
Oh, really? Nice.
My very first horror con that I went to, when I didn't really know how horror cons work, so I unfortunately did not have cash to like do a photo with him or anything, but he was there.
Right.
Super cool guy.
That's awesome.
I actually went on a ghost tour with him as one of the group members.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
It was him. His name's Miko Hughes. It was Miko from Pet Sematary and Andy, Alex from Child's Play.
Oh, nice. Oh, that had to have been a fun ghost tour.
Because they're like buddies, I think, in real life. So,
Right.
but yeah, no, Miko Hughes is super, super cool, but he's great in this. Like, he's super creepy when he has to be a creepy kid.
Oh, yeah, especially towards the end there, too, when he has a knife and he's like killing his parents and whatnot. The effects were actually pretty good, even though you could tell it wasn't really a kid. It still looked really good for its time.
And speaking of looking good for its time, the first real scare happens when Lewis goes to his first day at work when Victor is hit by a truck as well.
Yes, yep.
A young student, and damn it, this scene still scares the shit out of me when he springs awake and warns Victor or warns Lewis of the pet cemetery.
Yes, and put a pin on that because that was one of the biggest changes from the book and the movie was that character.
Oh, really? What did they do?
All right, let me pull up those notes here real quick. But let's see.
While you're looking for that, I do say that this is I try not to do too many comparisons, but this compared to the remake Victor, this Victor's a lot more creepy in the beginning, although he does end up becoming kind of funny as time goes on.
Right. Yeah, okay. So this is a bigger thing too, is the only actual thing that was similar from this in the book was the way that he meets Lewis.
Oh, really?
Everything else was completely different. In the book he plays a bigger role than he does in the actual movie. And let's see here.
Now,
Oh,
does he?
and he's also used more as a comic relief too, whereas in the book he was a lot more scary, a lot more prophetic. And in the original movie he was more kind of like the funny comedy relief too. But for the most part, yeah, it's just he had a much bigger part in the book and really had a much bigger part with Lewis and her own descent into, her madness
Oh,
when she comes back
interesting.
to life.
Yeah, well then in that case it's almost the remake is almost more true to the book then, because in the remake there's no real humor whatsoever, so Victor over there is probably more true to that.
Right. And then also too in the film too, unlike in the book and the he actually failed to warn Lewis. Whereas, in the new movie he warns her and everything. He doesn't warn her in this movie. He's
Oh,
just
okay.
more of yeah. Whereas in the book
Gotcha.
he's constantly giving her warnings and she keeps refusing to heed these warnings. In the movie, he doesn't really give her warnings. He's more just like this creepy guy that, just pops back to life when
And it's creepy AF.
It is. Yep.
And also
So,
his head wound is makes me cringe every time.
oh yeah, they did a great job on the arc and stuff too. But yeah, so that was the biggest difference was he just had less screen time and he wasn't as tied to Lewis as he was in the
Gotcha.
book.
Well, it's not, so we get that warning, and then it's not too long after that, unfortunately, church is run over, which is always upsetting.
Yes, very
Even though they
upsetting.
don't show it, it's just the sheer fact that that happens on screen. And it's not long before Judd is gonna take Lewis to the pet cemetery, and he's gonna bury Church. And again, the shot of the ground beyond the pet cemetery, where it almost looks like a crop circle up
It
there.
does, yeah, the way it's kind of like laid out with all the different graves and stuff, yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
And so, again, the setup of this movie is fantastic. And then, not long again passes before we get the reveal of Church in the garage when he's come back,
Right.
and those glowing eyes,
Yes.
like,
Oh God, those glowing eyes were just
and
and then he
that,
comes back. Oh yeah, those glowing eyes were just so like creepiest for sure.
jump scare too, where like just cuts to Church up in like the corner and he hisses real loud. I'm like, oh shit. I forgot he
Yeah,
was
but
there.
he did have a good few jump scares and Gabe did as well, so
Yep. But yeah, I mean, again, the setup, like some of my favorite scenes in the movie are like not even when the killer like creatures and killer zombies are on screen. It's just them talking about the pet cemetery.
yep.
When Judd tells his story of the boy who was buried there, when the dog was buried there, like, those are some of my favorite scenes because it just builds the backstory of the place that they live.
Oh, yep, for sure. And definitely gives more into the lore and the world building and that sort of thing with the pet cemetery itself. So,
And then a scene I completely forgot about is the dead rat in the bathtub.
Oh, yes, it took me a second to remember that scene. Yes.
Where Lewis is still home by himself, and Church is there, reborn, and kills a rat and then drops it in the bathtub with him.
Yep. That was actually kind of funny too. It's
It
creepy,
is
but kind
funny.
of funny, yeah.
Now, something I gotta ask about is we have this character, Missy. She's a caretaker for the Creeds. She shows up when they first move in and she's like helping them out.
I'm trying to refresh. I didn't make any notes about Missy.
Maybe this isn't really a relevant plot detail. I think in the book there's Judd's wife dies.
Yes, Judd's wife does die, yep, because it's kind of led to like you still sort of, well, did he actually bury his wife up there or not? And that's when you find out later that, he did
Okay.
bury his wife in the cemetery. I don't remember if that was in the book or the movie, but yeah, he did bury his wife in the cemetery.
Okay. Well, because in the movie, they have this Missy character who's like a caretaker for the Creeds, and she talks about like a stomach pain that she has. And I guess, I don't know if this is said in the movie, I might have missed this, but another podcast said she was like sick with something, and then she ends up hanging herself, and there's like a funeral scene for her.
Okay, yes, now I'm starting to remember. Now I did think I did make notes on that. Sorry. Hold on.
Like I couldn't tell where she fit into the story because I honestly didn't even remember her.
I didn't either until you said Missy. That's why I'm like trying to remember who this is, a caretaker. I'm like trying to figure out, and honestly, I'm like kind of have to pull up a picture from the 80s just so I can remember who she is and jog my memory because I'm like,
Yeah, I think
you are
her.
right. Yeah, she had stomach cancer, and you're right. She has stomach cancer, and she was the one that swore a lot, and she was the caretaker for the Creed family. Yes.
Oh, that's right, because Lewis says to her, like, thank you for introducing that
And the
colorful
reason why she
phrase
hung
into
herself was
my.
because she couldn't handle her stomach cancer anymore because it was so painful.
Okay.
Now I remember seeing her come through back and forth. She's already having the stomach issues, holding her stomach.
Yeah.
Now I remember her in the movie.
Now, is she there as like a motivator for Judd to tell Lewis about has anyone ever buried a person in the pet cemetery? I couldn't figure out why this was here.
I don't honestly know because, like I say, it's been a while since I've read the book, so I can't tell by the movie. Yeah, I don't remember seeing any details why. Like I say, unless it was just a scene in the book that Stephen King kept in it, but.
Yeah, no, this just caught me off guard in the movie. I honestly didn't remember this at all, so.
Sorry, excuse me.
But it does lead to a Stephen King cameo.
Yes, it does, because he was the one who actually sat there and held the funeral.
Yeah, he's the pastor there.
Yep.
Which Stephen King has a reputation for being a really bad actor. I actually thought this
Just a
was one of
bit.
his better roles.
He wasn't too bad, I guess.
But I guess also it's just kind of one of those like this movie is about like the perspective on death, sort of.
Yeah, and how people deal with death and grief and the different ways and how you feel like. You wish you could bring them back, didn't have enough time, especially if it's like all of a sudden death, like cat getting run over or someone
Yes.
hanging themselves due to cancer and
Yeah, so that's kind of how I took Missy's role in the story, and that scene is heartbreaking, watching her go through what she's going through. That was a really sad scene as well.
oh yeah, very much so, yep.
But the thing that pops up next, our next scare, that is the thing I mentioned earlier that is probably most scarring for most people who watch this
Oh,
movie.
hold on a second. I was sorry. I was kind of doing a search too. Remember you asked that comment about whether it had something to do with Judd telling Lewis about
Oh, people being buried in the cemetery?
Yeah, I was looking at it right now, and then yes, you are correct. That's the reason why she was in there.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it would give reason, yeah.
Okay, I vaguely remember them having a conversation after that, so that
Yes, we
makes
did have a
sense.
conversation. That's what led him to tell Lewis about it, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So that was her role. Thank you,
Gotcha.
Google, for a quick search.
Yeah. But then, so yeah, the thing that sticks with the most people with this movie, I think, is what happens next, which is when Rachel is talking to Lewis about her perspective on death, and it stems from her sister Zelda.
Oh, Zelda.
This is still to this day nightmare fuel.
Oh, 100% agree for sure.
Zelda in this movie is one of the scariest things I've ever seen, and they tried their best to redo it in the remake, but holy shit, this original is so fucking scary.
Yes, and the original was so much was more along the lines of the books. They did change it for the new adaptation.
Yes, so Zelda
Oh
is.
yeah, she was the most freakiest part. I think she was the one character that was like scared the most because just the whole, yeah, and the way that track the character was portraying her too, and everything was just so creepy
Yeah, and the makeup job. So
and
Zelda.
disturbing. Yes.
Yes, and Zelda is Rachel's sister. She has spinal meningitis.
Yep.
And she, like, is just this. I mean, she looks straight up like a monster.
Yep, and then poor Rachel's the one who hadn't taken care of her the entire time too. So not parents, but she had to take care of her sister, which is also very traumatic, which leads further into Rachel's opinion on death.
Oh, I agree with Lewis talking about her parents being terrible for leaving her with her sister.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a kid having to deal with my sister like that, I couldn't do it. I'd be terrified. I'd be like, nope, fuck that shit. I'm out. Peace,
Like, it'd be
dudes.
one thing if you are there with your child to help her feed, but don't leave your kid alone to help with your sister or with
Yeah,
her sick sister. Yeah.
who looks very disturbing and
And
demonic, and yeah.
you know what it is that scares me about her probably the most is her fucking voice.
Yes. Oh, the actress who did her was such a good job. I thought it was such a good actress, the way she portrayed the character, the voice, and everything. Really making you disturbed and
Well,
creepy.
you want to know something crazy about that? That Zelda is played by a man
Oh, really?
in this, yeah.
I was not aware of that. So,
Yeah, so
pardon me
that's
then, him, the way
pretty
he
impressive
played her.
what he did, but I don't know if that's his voice, but his like Rachel. Ugh.
Yep.
Like I'm
Yeah.
sorry if I hear that voice like from anywhere, I'm running.
I would too. Yeah, I think I agree that that's definitely the most like creepy, terrifying scene was all the stuff with her sister Zelda. Yes.
And then just continuing with very depressing stuff because they don't really show anything, thankfully. But Gage's death is still super disturbing too when he gets run over by the truck when they go to the picnic.
Yes, because if he was like chasing after the kite, and I forget, Lewis and Rachel were distracted by something, and then yeah, he just goes running there too late to chase after him. Yeah, that was very disturbing. I'm glad it didn't show it on scene, but it was still very.
I also have a note that just says, "Man, Rachel's dad is an asshole," and I think that's in reference that he goes to confront Lewis at Gage's funeral and knocks the coffin over.
Yep. That's right. I'm like, dude, it was an honest mistake. I mean, the parents are trying their best with two kids, you know? So it's like, dude.
Yeah, well, they never really say why he doesn't like Lewis, beforehand. It's just like he has a problem with him for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was, I'm sure it was in the book. I just don't remember in the book, to be honest with you. So.
Yeah. But so Gage dies, and we've already had Church be buried in the pet cemetery. And this is kind of where Lewis starts toying with the idea of can the pet cemetery work to bring back a human?
Yep.
Because he's grief-stricken, his wife is broken up, his daughter is torn up, so they're gonna leave and go on a trip. This is where we get the iconic line, "Sometimes dead is better." And I believe this is where Judd tells the story of the young boy who was buried in the cemetery and came back as like a cannibal zombie.
Yep. This is that scene, yep.
Which again, just great makeup effects.
Like I told you, they've really nailed it with makeup, the props, and everything like that. So, I mean, they've really did a great job, especially for it being like 89 films. So, they didn't really have CGI and they had to do everything like practical effects. So,
For sure. And my note does say I forgot Victor is a bigger part of this because I think he's in, from my perspective, he's in this one a lot more than he is the remake.
yeah, in the remake, he wasn't in it nearly as much. He has a bigger part in here too than the remake, but he has even a bigger part in the book. So yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a trajectory
Yep.
thing. But yeah, this is about where he starts kind of showing up. He had the scene where he took Lewis to the cemetery, and there's that great reveal where like Lewis thinks it's a dream, but then there's dirt on his feet. But now here, I think, is when he's showing himself to. Okay, so question: can Rachel see him, or is he just talking to her and hoping that she can hear him? Because I can never tell with her reactions.
I can't either. I've always kind of seen it through as like it's she doesn't see him. It's like she doesn't see him. It's a figment in her mind, but in order for us to see her mind, I think that's why the actors have him being a visual thing, but I don't think she actually sees him per se. I think he's more,
Okay.
I'm trying to remember from the book too. I think it's more of like a mental imagery than
Okay, that
anything
makes
else.
sense. So he's like a representation of her thoughts then.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, yeah, just a manifestation of her thoughts.
Okay,
So,
that makes sense.
and I
'Cause we
think this was the scene. I just had some really random note I noticed too. It's like, have you ever known anyone who works in the medical field who's gone to bed in their scrubs and wakes back up in their scrubs?
I haven't personally, but I'm sure that happens.
Okay, because I know it just caught me as really weird. I'm like, why is he wearing scrubs to bed, and why is he waking up in scrubs when he wasn't even at the clinic beforehand? So just like, why would you wear scrubs to bed? I don't know. It's just some random thing I saw that just caught me off guard. I'm like, that's so weird.
Listen, that's the form of MTP, is write down random things.
Yeah, that's like the random thing there. I'm like, that makes no sense whatsoever.
But yeah, I was wondering if Rachel could see him because Ellie talks about a dream that she had where she saw him.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that it's once again just like a manifestation, just so we can kind of
Okay.
as an audience see. Because I think in the book it was all mental too, in the book, but for
Okay.
visual views, it makes it easier for us to see a manifestation of him then.
Well, I think this is where the psychological aspect comes in that we were
Yep,
talking
that
about
too. Yep.
is there's that, but there's also like everybody has different reactions to death in this movie.
Right.
So I think, yeah, I think that makes sense. But Lewis is super unhinged when he decides that he's going to bury Gage in the pet cemetery. I just have a note that says, boy, Lewis has really lost it when he's digging Gage up.
Yeah, and that, I think that's when he finally had his mental breaking point, was at that point right there.
Well, he picks up the body and he has this like really weird smile that he gives, like, this is gonna be okay. And I'm just like, the fuck? Like, he is
Yeah.
mentally broken.
Exactly. Yeah, he's just, yeah, he's gone. He's just, yeah, he's had too much stuff to deal with, so.
So then he buries Gage, and hopes that, Gage will be back in time for Rachel and Ellie to return. There's another scene in here where Zelda shows up to Rachel and like spins around off the bed, and just her fucking movements just freak me out so badly.
I know, I still can't get over the actor. He did such a great job. Avery's, like I said before, yeah, Avery seen Zelda was in, I was just creeped out. Even now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, no, that's creepy. But that's the creepy stuff I like in horror. It's,
Yeah.
that type of like creepy, weird
Yeah,
type of style in
she's
horror.
laying on her side and then just does this like this little spin thing to stare at Rachel.
Yep.
And it, ugh, just so scary.
Oh, yeah.
There's another scare here that I totally didn't remember about, but when Lewis is coming, I think he's going up to the cemetery to bury Gage. There's like a face that pops out of the like the water, sort of. It's like a little jump scare in there that caught me really off guard.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that, to be honest.
It's such a quick moment, but I can't remember if he's going to the cemetery or if he's leaving, but there's a part where some spirit ghost just like its face pops up out of the water, like in like a big hazy vision thing for a second.
Yeah,
That
I
was
don't remember that, to be honest with you, and they seen it a few days ago, so.
Yeah, it's like blink and you miss it.
Okay, that could be it then
So
too, because I was trying to like look all around to like focus more on the background and stuff, not so
yeah.
much over the character for my notes, so.
Yeah, I was watching this at night in my living room and that scene popped up. I was like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, by the way, a lot of your notes are the same notes I've written down, by the way, so. Just to put
Oh, there we go.
it out there, I'm like going through, like, oh, that's the same thing I noticed. Okay, well.
Yeah, great minds think alike.
That they do.
But now we're going to talk about something. So Gage is back.
Yes, the creepy little kid, and Ellie stays with the grandparents, and Rachel comes back by herself. Yep.
So now we're going to talk about something that literally makes me want to vomit every time I see this movie.
I know what you. I think I know what
I'm
you're talking
sure you
about.
know. So Gage grabs a scalpel and is going to go hunt down Judd, and he's
Yep.
going to stick the scalpel in right in Judd's ankle. Ugh.
Yeah, like I say, I'm not a fan of gore, even though it's like 80s gore. So yeah, that definitely kind of made me kind of cringe a little bit. So, but the only reason why I can handle this gore is because I've seen it so many times. I'm like,
Yeah.
but still, even after that, even though I'm desensitized to it, it's still like, it still makes me, ugh.
And again, this is very practical makeup. So he sticks
Yep.
the scalpel in Judd's ankle, and
Yes.
then he stabs him a bunch, and then he bites a piece of his neck out.
Yes, biting the neck was also super, like, just, yeah, there was a lot of stuff where I was just like, oh, and kind of like
Yeah,
circling my
this
eyes. I'm like, ah, this is, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this.
from a gore scene, this is probably one of the most like disturbing scenes to watch.
Yeah, it definitely disturbed me not being a fan of gore, so.
And so, but again, gotta praise the practical effects there.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And then to me, I think the scariest scene always remains the last appearance of Zelda, which is when Rachel is coming home because she knows something's wrong. Because her and Ellie have figured out from Victor that Lewis has done something wrong.
Right.
And so she comes home, and then she has one final vision of Zelda, and this is the infamous, "I'm going to twist your spine like mine, and you'll never get out of bed again. Never get out of bed again."
Yep.
Oh, it's so scary. She's like kind of Zelda's kind of hidden in the corner of a room, and then she does this little like run close up to the camera, and her fingers are like twiddling together. Oh, it's so creepy.
For sure.
And then so we got Zombie Gage running around.
Yeah, zombie gauge.
Did this part ever scare you? Do you remember? Because I feel like this is where the movie gets a little bit lighter, albeit it's disturbing.
Honestly, to be honest, even with some of the parts, you know, like where he's killing Rachel and stuff, didn't really bother me too much. But yeah, I don't think it scared me as much as the other parts. It just seemed more kind of cheesy, I guess you could say.
Yeah, because Zombie Gage has a lot of like corny one-liners that are a lot of fun, but they're also like not as scary
Yeah,
anymore.
exactly. Yeah, and
The
you could
great
kind of
line.
see more too. Who's more like say, even though they did good practice here, sometimes too, you could see it was like a puppet and not the actual child too. They didn't do really, there's some that didn't do a good job of trying to hide the fact that it was a puppet,
Oh, there's so many times where Lewis
which
is
kind of took me
wrestling.
out of it too, of not being scared because I could tell as it was a puppet. And like, okay, well, that kind of tears. It's not like Child's Play or Chucky where it's like, you know, a possessed puppet. It was just like, okay, you can totally tell it's not the child doing it.
Oh, there's so many times where Lewis is wrestling with like a clearly like small dummy.
Oh, yep, very much so.
But I love that type of horror, so that's fine.
I mean, yeah, I'm fine with it too. I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. It's just, yeah, you could very much tell it was towards the end there. It was like, yeah, okay.
Well, Gage has a fantastic line on the phone to Lewis when Lewis realizes that something's wrong with him, and he goes, "First I played with Judd, and then Mommy came and I played with her. Now I want to play with you."
All his lines were just so creepy, though, too, when he spoke. Oh, God, I hate scary kids.
Yeah, and then so Lewis is gonna, go to war, and he unfortunately has to take down church first, which I don't like.
Yeah, and there were some differences too about Church's death too for the second time. But I mean, no, we're just going over this movie now too for the differences. But yeah,
Well,
put a
I
pin in
just
that too. But there were some differences regarding Church's death by
yeah,
Lewis.
I don't like Church's second death or Gage's second death, because
I don't either.
I
Yeah,
know
no.
they're zombies, but these scenes are genuinely upsetting.
Yep.
Probably a reason why I love this movie, but I can't watch it like repeatedly. Just because there's a lot of hard stuff to watch in it.
Yeah, anything with the pets and the kids, like, so even though it's like lethal injection, it's still really hard with the cat, and same thing with Gabe too.
Well, even
Yeah,
rewatching it too with Missy, like her scene is really hard, and it's just
yeah.
It's a heavy movie, but you know, it's
It
a
is a
well
very
done
heavy
one.
movie for sure.
There's another gore effect that popped up where they reveal Judd's jawline is fucked up.
Yes.
I
I'm thinking that's when Gage just like kind of like did a whole like swipe through the
Yes. It's almost like
face.
a
Yeah.
Chelsea grin type thing.
Yep, exactly.
But regardless of the mistakes that Lewis has made, because he kills Gage again, but he's still gonna try to bury Rachel, hoping that if he buries her faster, that she won't be evil.
Right, which I thought was kind of crazy too. I'm like, it doesn't matter how quick you bury her after her death. It's like, yeah, no, she's going to come back.
Yeah, and Victor failed. He, screams in defeat because no matter what he does, Lewis won't listen.
Yep, exactly. That was the same in all the books and the movies. The same thing too. Lewis just refused to listen to Victor's warning, but he was like dealt so much grief because he just lost his son, the cat. His daughter was devastated about the cat. You know, and then he lost his wife because his son killed his wife. The zombie son killed his wife. So he
Yeah.
just, I mean, it's just so much to do. It's like, how would she, he was just broken mentally. He's like, can't really blame him either, though, you know, like wanting something of his family still alive.
Yeah. Well, Zombie Rachel's back and they're gonna have a really disgusting kiss.
Oh, that disturbed me more than probably even more of the gore stuff in there too. When they start getting like, oh no, why? She's dead. Ugh. I was like,
Yeah, her
oh God, no.
eyeball's missing and she's dripping goo and he's
And I'm
just
like,
like
how the hell are you getting hard staring at this like zombie version of your wife? That
going
would
for
be
a
like a
big
turn off, you would think.
smooch, but she's got a knife or a scalpel herself and
Yep.
It cuts to the scream from Lewis, so he's gonna die. I did read just before we signed on that originally there was an ending that Rachel would just come in while Lewis was playing solitaire, and his fate was gonna be left ambiguous.
Yes, that is the case too. The novel was the one that had the ambiguous ending. The 89 movie makes it clear that Rachel attacks him. And then the 2019 changed it completely
Yep.
by depicting that Rachel killing Lois and burying him in the cemetery. So each version was different.
Yeah, I would assume that that Rachel's gonna kill him anyway because all of the zombies seem to be sort of homicidal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's kind of in the Ellie's now, you know, parentless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so the last thing to note is the end credit song, the great song that is Pet Sematary by the Ramones.
Yes. I
I've
love listening to that song, yes.
I love this song. I've covered it before. It's a great song. And as I understand it, one of the Ramones went over to Stephen King's house and he's like, "Here, I wrote this book. Write a song." And like they wrote this song in like an hour just based on parts of the book that they read.
Yep.
But yeah, that's the original Pet Sematary.
Yes, it is. Like I say, I still enjoy it. So,
Top-notch movie and very creepy. So if you haven't seen it in a while, give it a watch. It holds up, well for being what, almost 40 years old now.
yeah, just about 40 years old. Yeah, and like I say, also to new people watching it, like I say, if you aren't a fan of like animal deaths or human deaths, you know, trigger warning for there. It's
Oh, huge trigger warning. There's a lot of death and trauma in
yes.
this movie for sure. But this is why Stephen King is a celebrated writer. He taps into a lot of themes and makes you think. So,
Oh yeah, 100% for sure.
but yeah, so that's it. So Claudia, thanks for joining me to talk about Pet Sematary. I'm
Yeah,
glad we finally got to do this.
this was definitely a lot of fun. I'm glad we finally got some time to do it. And like I said, so if you, I know it's hard to read the books, it's so big, but I'd definitely recommend it just so you can get some more backstory. I know our friend Sky read through it recently too, and they enjoyed the book a lot, so.
For sure. But this was a great pick. I'm glad we finally got to talk about it. There are two other Pet Sematary movies to pick at any point if you want to come back. There's Pet Sematary 2, and also Pet Sematary Bloodlines that only came out like 2 years ago.
I not see Bloodlines, but I believe I saw Pet Sematary 2. I don't think I've seen it as much. I'm not familiar with as Pet Sematary 1, but I might have to do that and come back to see what Pet Sematary 2 is because I'm kind of
Yeah,
curious.
it's a young Edward Furlong.
Huh. I might have to find that because I'm curious now too about Pet Sematary 2, so.
Yeah, that's one of those we don't have any more things to base off a book, so we'll just make a sequel without Stephen King.
I mean, does
So,
it hold up well compared to the first one, or?
I mean, I've never seen it, so I guess
Oh,
we'll
you
find
never
out
see
one
it either.
day. Yeah.
Okay.
I know someone dies by crashing into a potato truck, and the potatoes pile out of the truck and pile onto them. So.
Yeah. Oh, I know this is completely off topic. Just remind me about like weird deaths too. Final Destination with the logs.
Yeah. I know a lot of people won't drive
You're
behind
talking
log
about running
trucks.
into the potato thing. That reminded me of the log thing too. Every time I get behind a truck with a bunch of logs, I'm in the other lane, or I turn off the road and wait till it passes because I refuse to be behind a lumber truck.
Yeah, there's another Final Destination movie coming out this year.
Oh my God, I do kind of enjoy them and I have to turn away a lot, but yeah.
I've only ever seen the first one. The first one made it very hard for me to get on planes.
Yes, that too. Planes, riding behind, so much stuff.
But yeah, thanks for joining me. This was a lot of
Yeah,
fun.
thanks for having me on, definitely.
And we'll do it again sometime.
Yep, well, stay safe and stay warm.
You as well. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Midnight Terrors podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can check us out on Facebook under Midnight Terrors Podcast. You can shoot us an email at midnightterrorspodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Linktree, which has our T Public store, if you want to pick up some merch. And also, you can join our Facebook group, Midnight Terrors Podcast, where you can talk horror with me, all the co-hosts, and Claudia, and many members of
Yes.
CAF, and just a whole spooky family. So, come on over and talk horror with us. We would love to have you. This is the Midnight Terrors Podcast. We'll see you all again soon. Peace.